All right, I'd like to continue on in Galatians tonight. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to Galatians and chapter 3. I intended to go on now with Galatians 3, 19 and 20. However, that is going to be so appropriate for Sunday morning, and so I've decided to hold off on that until Sunday morning. But we do need a little more preparation before we actually get there as well. So I thought I'd take this time to do just that. Let me give you a little quiz here tonight before we start. I made some to hand out, but I don't think I'll take the time to do that. But let me just take Galatians 3:8. If you'll look at Galatians 3:8. Let me ask you this. What one word in Galatians 3:8 describes what was preached to Adam when God said, "In thee shall all nations be blessed"? What one word describes the thing that was preached? The gospel. The gospel was preached to Abraham. Sometimes we think that the gospel came along with Jesus Christ. The gospel was all in the Old Testament. And this verse, of course, indicates that the gospel was preached to Abraham. Now, it was the gospel about what was to come, the gospel that was preached after Christ completed His work was the fulfilled gospel, but the gospel that was preached before Christ came was the promised gospel. But it's all the gospel, it's the same gospel, and it's the gospel by which all men are saved always, is the preaching of the gospel. What, if we look in the same verse, verse 8, what was the ultimate aim or purpose of the promise made to Abraham? Still in verse 8, what was the ultimate aim or purpose of the promise that was made to Abraham? That all nations would be blessed, or you could put it this way, to justify the heathen. You see that? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, most of the time, we associate Abraham with the Jewish nation, don't we? That's the first thing that comes to mind. However, this verse seems to indicate that the very purpose in God preaching the gospel to Abraham was that He would justify the heathen. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? Also in 3:8, from the words of Galatians 3:8 alone, does the nation of Israel have any special or exclusive claim to the promise made to Abraham? If you're just looking at verse 8, Israel is not even mentioned. In fact, Israel didn't exist when God spoke to Abraham, right? Israel did not exist until 430 years later, really, when God created the nation under the Mosaic Law. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes, too. So the ultimate, the answer to that is, no, it does not speak of any special or exclusive claim to the promise made to Abraham. Look at Galatians 3:10 and 11. And let's talk about that briefly. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith." In verse 10, those that are under the law are also under what? Cheryl? Well, no. Look, there you go. The curse. It says in verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Now, let me ask you this. This is not so obvious in the verses that we read, but just I think you know the answer. To whom was the law given? Israel, of course. the law was given to Israel. Moses came down out of the mountain and gave them the Ten Commandments. And he gave them all the rites and the ceremonies and the rituals and all the 600 and some odd specific laws that are written down in the first five chapters of the Bible. Therefore, the law was given to Israel. Take a look, before we start our message tonight, take a look at Romans chapter 3. Just to give you another perspective on this, Paul has already demonstrated in Romans chapter 2 1 and 2 actually, that the world is guilty before God, and even the Jews are guilty before God. That's the message of Romans 1 and 2, that both the Gentiles and the Jews are inexcusable, they're not excused. What advantage then hath the Jews, starting in chapter 3, verse 1? What advantage? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed what? The oracles of God. You see, the law was given to them, and they were under the law. And when you're under the law, you're under a curse, according to Galatians. All right, well, that's just to get our thought processes started here. The last time that we spoke here on Galatians, we looked at the relationship between the promise that was made to Abraham and the covenant that was given to Moses. We looked at those two things and looked at the relationship. We're going to do just a little bit more of that this evening. So let's take a look at Galatians 3:8. Put your eyes on that. And it says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Now, there are several things that you should notice about this promise to Abraham. And first of all, we should take a look at the time of the promise. Does anybody know about what time in history Abraham came along? A little bit later than that, but about 2000 B.C. Was when Abraham came along, give or take a few years, but... Now, of course, when Abraham came along and God spoke these words to him, Paul calls that the preaching of the gospel, right? Now, of course, that was not the first promise of the gospel. There was a promise given in Genesis 3:15, and what was the big word that we assigned to that last time, Janine? The proto-evangelium, the first preaching of the gospel, the first evangelism. And God obviously revealed the gospel message in very early times. He must have revealed it to Adam. If he saved Adam, he must have revealed the gospel to him. Abel had some knowledge of the gospel because he brought a blood sacrifice, didn't he? But our text says that the gospel was also preached to Abraham. This gospel that was preached to Abraham was perhaps a more formal declaration of the gospel than had been preached before. God promised Abraham a seed through whom the whole world would be blessed. This is called the gospel in verse 8, Galatians 3:8. And it was given to Abraham around 2000 B.C. Now, so that is the time of the promise. Now we're going to take a look at the aim of the promise. What was the purpose of God in making this promise to Abraham? Look at verse 8, Galatians 3:8. And it says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify" who? The heathen. "Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." So the aim or purpose of the promise to Abraham was to justify the heathen through faith. Now, of course, at this time, as we said, the nation of Israel did not even exist. The nation was in the bowels of Abraham, you might say. The nation was in the twinkle of Abraham's eye. But Israel as a nation was to come along much later under the Mosaic Law, some 430 years later. So you will notice that the promise given to Abraham in verse 8 was a promise to save the nations by faith, wasn't it? That was the purpose. What was the effect of the promise upon Abraham? The effect of that promise upon Abraham was to make him the father of someone. Who was Abraham the father of? That's bad grammar, but the faithful. Abraham was the father of the faithful. You see? Now, most of us associate Abraham with Israel, and he's well known to be the father of the nation of Israel. And surely God did bring the nation of Israel out of his loins. But as far as this verse is concerned, he is the father of the faithful. He is the one who is sort of set up as the example of those that believe. This is stated more clearly in Romans 4:11. If you'll keep your finger in Galatians, but flip to Romans 4:11. It says, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that what? Believe." So the Bible says that Abraham is the father of the faithful. He's the father of those that believe. Now, again, was Abraham also the father of an earthly nation? Yes. God told Abraham that he would make him a great nation. And from Abraham's descendants, God did make a nation that was ultimately known as Israel. God made this earthly nation pursuant to the Mosaic Covenant. However, being a member of this earthly nation under the Mosaic Covenant did not equate to being saved. It's a different thing altogether. I think that you will agree. Not all of the earthly nation of Israel was saved. Everybody agrees with that, right? Not all of them were saved. In fact, I think you would conclude, once you read the Old Testament and see how they rejected Christ when he came and so forth, that most were not saved. Being a member of that group, Israel, under that covenant, the Mosaic covenant, did not mean that you were saved. That's just obvious, isn't it? Because there were people in the nation that were descendants of Abraham that were not saved. But being a member of that group under the promise to Abraham does equate to salvation. Every person that believes in Christ is saved. So every member of that promise is saved. Not every member of Israel is saved. Not every person under the Mosaic covenant is saved. That's because the Mosaic Covenant never saved. The Mosaic Covenant never was a covenant of salvation. The promise to Abraham can be compared and contrasted to the Mosaic Covenant, and that's what I want to take a few minutes to do here this evening. Of course, we've already said that the promise to Abraham came along in 2000 B.C., give or take. When did the Mosaic Covenant come along? Yeah, some 430 years later. We know the exact amount of years later, somewhere around 1500 B.C., something like that. 430 years later than the promise. So there's a difference in terms of the time of the two covenants. The principal person to whom God gave the promise was who? Abraham. The principal person under the Mosaic Covenant was who? Moses. So there's a difference in the person that God spoke these covenants too. There's another difference between these two things. The promise to Abraham was universal in scope. If you'll notice, Galatians 3:8, it says that he gave this to Abraham in order to justify the heathen. And then the last statement, it says, in thee shall all nations be blessed. You see the universality of that promise? It went to all nations, not some, not one, but to all nations. So the promise that was given through Abraham was a universal promise. It was universal in scope. Not that it was going to save everyone, but it was going to save people from all nations. God reached his arms around the whole world and saved from all corners of the world. However, what was the scope under the Mosaic covenant? It's very limited, wasn't it? It was limited to one tiny little nation on all of the earth. If you go back to Abraham, it was one person. You know, and then he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and so forth down the line. Eventually, they became a handful of people, a little family. They grew down in Egypt to be a multitude, but in comparison to all the peoples of the world, one tiny little nation that God intended to give his Mosaic covenant to. So the promise was universal in scope, the Mosaic covenant very limited. The purpose of the promise, look in Galatians 3:9, the purpose of the promise was to bless. It says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So you see that the purpose of God in making this promise to Abraham was blessing. And furthermore, God told Abraham, I'm going to bless the whole world. Universal blessing for the whole world. However, what is the purpose of the Mosaic covenant? Look in Galatians 3:10. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, we see a difference in the purpose of the two covenants. The vehicle of the promise was faith. Look in Galatians 3:8 and 9 again. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what? Faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That was the vehicle of blessing through Abraham. Not so under the Mosaic covenant. The vehicle there was works. Look at Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to what? Do them. That is the difference between the Mosaic law and the promise. There's no doing that merits you anything under the promise. It's believing. Under the Mosaic law, what you must do is do it. Not only that, you must continue to do it, and you must continue to do all things under the law. You had to be absolutely perfect every moment of your life in order to achieve something under the law. And we all know that that's totally impossible for a fallen creature like us to do so. We can't make it through 5 minutes, 1 minute, without sin creeping in. So, one system is by faith, the other is by works. The promise, I think that we've already seen, is not exclusive to Israel. Would everyone agree there that the promise was given so that the nations would be blessed? Look at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed, what does the seed mean, by the way? Singular, right? We know it's singular, so it's Jesus. To Abraham and his seed, Jesus, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many. See, the seeds of Abraham were his physical people, Israel. This verse says, not to the seeds, to the seed. But as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And therefore, the promise to Abraham was not exclusive to Israel. The Mosaic covenant, on the other hand, was very exclusive to Israel. The Gentiles had no idea what the Ten Commandments or the provisions of the law were. Furthermore, they didn't care. Basically knew nothing about them unless they had contact with Israel. So the law was not given to the nations of the world. The Mosaic covenant was given to Israel. We've already seen to some extent that the promise saves. In verse 9 it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. On the other hand, look in verse 11. Can the law save you? Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. Is it evident to everyone here that the law does not save, that the world thinks the law saves you? The multitudes in this world will try to get to God by doing something. In fact, that is the very definition of man's religion. As far as I'm concerned, there's only two religions in the world. There's Christianity and the world's religions. Now, the world's religions can be divided into all kinds of different divergent concepts. But what distinguishes the two are that all of man's religion is a way to do something to be accepted by God. And God says, no, nope. My religion is not doing at all, but it's done. Salvation is done in Christ. It's our duty to believe it. So there's a great difference between the two concepts. The promise saves. The Mosaic covenant doesn't. The promise is eternal. Let me show you what I mean by that. Look at verse 15. Let's start with 15. It says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or adds thereto. Now, we talked about that Sunday. And the idea is that even when you and I make a contract with one another, once it's ratified, once we shake hands or sign on the dotted line, it's confirmed. And by the very nature of that covenant or contract, it can't be undone. And so if that's the way it is with a man's covenant, how more sure is it when God signs on the dotted line and says, I'm going to do something. And this is what God did with Abraham. Remember, he parted the animal parts and put Abraham to sleep so that Abraham had nothing to do with it. God walked through the parts as if to say, I'm signing on the dotted line. I'm giving you the promise of blessing through faith. So the promise to Abraham is eternal. Look at verse 17. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. You see, the Mosaic law could not annul, or as this verse says, disannul, the promise. It had no power to undo the promise that God made to Abraham. And we're thankful for that. On the other hand, the law is very temporary. Look at 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? We've already seen that the promise goes on. It cannot be disannulled. But what about the law? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. So you see that the Mosaic covenant is not eternal. It does not go on and on. It stops when Christ comes. When the reality comes along, the types are done away. And if we had learned nothing else in the book of Hebrews, we should have learned that by now. And you probably say you have preached that about 50 times more than we would have liked to have heard it. But you know what? It's Paul preaching it. Every time I come to it in the Scriptures, I'm just telling you what Paul or the writer of Hebrews says. So he has overemphasized it, if it's been overemphasized. Well, obviously it hasn't been, but at any rate, it's an important concept, and the concept is that the Mosaic Law was never intended to be an ongoing thing. It had its beginning 430 years after Abraham, and it ended with Christ. A lot of people call the church age a parenthesis. I see it just the opposite. This passage teaches that the Mosaic Law was a parenthesis. The promise to Abraham goes on and on. The Mosaic Law was a parenthesis for a certain purpose, and we'll talk about that later. Let's see. The promise was given to Abraham and his seed. That's in verse 16. The Mosaic covenant was given to the seeds. It was given to the physical descendants of Moses and Abraham. The promise that was given to Abraham is the real inheritance. Look at verse 18. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So you see, the inheritance, whatever the inheritance is that we're receiving from God, it came by the promise. Did it come by the Mosaic Law? No, we have to shake our heads and say no. The writer here in Galatians, Paul, is saying it didn't come by the law. Inheritance came by the promise. The promise, I've already mentioned, is not affected by the Mosaic Law. The law had no ability to disannul the promise. And on the flip side of the coin, we can say that the Mosaic Law does not affect the promise. The promise is not affected. The Mosaic Law does not affect the promise. So that's a little contrast. Now let's go on here. The promise to Abraham was effective before the Mosaic Law, during the Mosaic Law, and after the Mosaic Law. Everybody understands that, right? Now, I put in your bulletin a diagram because I'm not too good at setting up all these visuals like Brother Mark is, but I put in the bulletin a little diagram of that. It's on the back page, the same page that says Sermon Outline. If you'll look at the little diagram, this is intended to be a timeline, and you'll see the top line there. The P represents the promise that was made to Abraham. It was made around 2000 B.C., and the promise, you can see, continued on to what? To the cross. Do you see the line continuing on after the cross? That is also the promise. Now, the only difference between the two, the promise that was before the cross was a promise of something that was coming. The promise that is after the cross is the promise fulfilled. He's here. Jesus Christ has come and done a work that fulfills the promise that was made to Abraham. But if you look at the Mosaic Law down the line under it, the M stands for when the Mosaic Law was given to Moses. You can see that it comes after the P, right? It goes on up to the cross. Why does it not go on after that? Because Jesus came, and Galatians 3:19 says that it was added because of transgressions until the seed should come. And therefore, the Mosaic Law is very finite, has a specific time period, and when Jesus came, it came to an end. So, let's go on here. The recipients of the promise are not the same as the recipients of the Mosaic Law. We've covered that a little bit, but we should now understand that the promise was directed at a different people, wasn't it? The promise was directed at the nations of the world. The recipients of the Mosaic Law was a tiny little nation. So let's take a look at a passage that might shed some light on this. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. Let's start in verse 1. It says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, that's the Jews, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. They had various promises given to them as a nation. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect. Now, Paul is asking the question here, if many of the Jews are not saved, and it's obvious that they're not, Paul is sorrowful in his heart here. He is grieving because the nation has rejected Christ. And Paul says, has God failed in His promise? Has God failed to do what He said He would do? And I think that what Paul was considering here was the promise to Abraham. Has God failed? Has the Word of God taken none effect? And he goes on and he says, For they are not all Israel which are of Israel. There's only one conclusion that you could make there, and that is that not all of the nation Israel belong to this other group called Israel. Isn't that what it says? They are not all of Israel. Excuse me. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. So not all of the Jews, of course, were God's children. Take a look at verse 7. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. If you were born as a descendant of Abraham, did that make you a child of God? No. It's very clear from this verse. It says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So I think you'd have to say some were. Some were, some weren't. But we would have to say that all of Abraham's physical descendants were not children. And what this means is that there is not a one-to-one correspondence between those under the Mosaic Law and those under the saving promise of God. There's not a one-to-one correspondence. They're different things. The promise to Abraham was the gospel. That's what saves. Always has, always will. When people were under the Mosaic covenant, it curses. But God graciously saved some of them according to the promise of Abraham and took them out from under the law. Isn't that what Paul says? That's what it means to be saved, to come out from under the law, out from under the curse. So there's not a one-to-one correspondence between the Mosaic covenant and the covenant of promise. Notice that Abraham's physical children, that is, all of his direct lineage, are called children according to the flesh. Look at verse 3. Romans 9:3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And then look at verse 8. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not who? The children of God. These that are of the flesh are not children of God. The physical descendants of Abraham are called the children of the flesh, and they are not the children of God. Does that mean that none of the children of Abraham, according to the flesh, were saved? No. It just means that that didn't make them saved. They were children of the flesh, not the children of God. The children of God are the children of the promise to Abraham. So the obvious answer here is that the promise of salvation was not made to all of fleshly Israel. The promise was made to all those contemplated in the promise, whoever that may be. But the promise was clearly not made to Abraham's physical descendants. Physical descent from Abraham has nothing to do with the saving promise of God. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, the Pharisees said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Oh, how proud they were. They pulled their, what do you call them, tunics or whatever, all proud, stuck out their chest, and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And the works of Abraham are faith. But he went on to say, but now you seek to kill me. Abraham's children, according to the flesh, killing Jesus. Now, let me go on quickly and say that the operative principle under the covenant of promise is the principle of election. And the operative principle under the Mosaic covenant is works. In Romans 9, Paul is contrasting the nature of things under the Abrahamic promise compared to the nature of things under the Mosaic law. Now look what it says. It says in verse 10, Romans 9:10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to what? Election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. By the way, did you ever wonder why Jacob ended up being a mama's boy? And Esau was a daddy's boy. You remember the story, right? Did you ever wonder why it was that Rebekah was sold out to gaining the birthright for Jacob? Perhaps it is because way back when Jacob and Esau were in the womb, God spoke to Rebekah and he said, the elder will serve the younger. For the children not being yet born, it says, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. There was a sovereign choice that took place before these children were ever born, and God came to the mother, Rebekah, and said, Jacob is my choice. And favored with that knowledge all those years and believing God, Rebekah always knew that Jacob was to receive the blessing and not Esau. Let me conclude this message this evening by saying that all human beings who have ever been saved from hell and taken to heaven have been saved pursuant to the promise that was made to Abraham. That is the gospel. That gospel promise is eternal. It can never be undone. The promise made to Abraham was the promise of salvation. That is why it is called the gospel in Galatians 3:8. All of those saved before Abraham's day were nevertheless saved by the same gospel. All of those saved after Abraham's day were saved by the same promise. Salvation is in no way, shape, or form. Or let me say it another way. Salvation in no way, shape, or form came through the Mosaic Law. The Mosaic Law was a curse to all who were under it. It was a curse to Ishmael. You remember Ishmael. Ishmael was an outcast. He was not chosen by God. Ishmael and his mother Hagar were a type of the fleshly nation of Israel who were in bondage under the law. That's in Galatians 4:25. It was a curse to Esau, who was a type of those who were not the elect of God. It was a curse to Nadab and Abihu, who were Jewish priests who were swallowed up in God's wrath because they violated the ceremonial law of God. The Mosaic Law was a curse to Ahab and Jezebel, the wicked king and his wicked wife. It was a curse to that old high priest Caiaphas, who thought himself a worthy judge to judge Jesus. And Caiaphas found Jesus worthy of death. It was a curse to the Pharisees, who were puffed in pride because of the law and who had no use for Jesus. The Mosaic Law is a curse upon sinful man. Ah, but the promise of God is the promise of grace, which comes through that seed, not seeds, but through the seed of Abraham. The promise of God is mercy and forgiveness upon all them that believe. The promise of God is founded on the bedrock of God's eternal purposes in salvation. It is founded on His choices before the foundation of the world. But the Mosaic Law says you do something. Here, physical descendants of Israel, here is my law. Let's see what you can do with it. And it proved to be the greatest curse that ever came upon a people. Thank God that salvation is not to be found in exhaustive obedience to the Mosaic Law. Salvation was never found there. It was not there before Moses. It was not there during the time of Moses, and it was not there after the time of Moses. Salvation was always found in the promise made to Abraham before the name of Moses was ever known. So the natural question is then, why then did God impose this Mosaic Law system on Israel? Why did He do it? You see, God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless the world. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to come through your seed, Jesus Christ. And then He came along 430 years later and added a cursing system. Seems strange, doesn't it? But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And He knew what He was doing. But He brought a cursing system that worked alongside the promise for a while. To Abraham, God says, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And then God brings along another covenant through Moses that curses. Why, God? Why do you do that? And isn't that the question that is posed in Galatians 3:19? Look at Galatians 3:19. Paul anticipates your question. He says, wherefore then serveth the law? The law seems so counter to the promise. The law seems to pull against the promise and to work toward a different end. The promise says, I will bless you. The law says, I will curse you. And so we ask right along with Paul, wherefore serveth the law? And you'll have to come back Sunday morning for the answer. Okay? All right. Let's stand with me, please, and we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You now and we ask Your blessing upon us. Lord, we are weak and frail and without strength without You, but we pray that as we submit ourselves to you, that you'd give us strength and power. We pray most of all that we'd bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. We pray that your word would be magnified, that it'd go outside our doors and into our community, that the bells of the gospel would ring, and that our community would come. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for instructing us day by day. Lord, may we come to a greater understanding of your word as days go by. Bless us now as we go to our homes, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.